Hopefully you can hear me good. Sounds good to me. And hope everyone's had a good week so far. And it looks like the clouds have parted and the rain's gone. And we're looking forward to some fall-like weather. And really not much of like. Today's the first day of fall, I believe. And what a blessing that is. It just goes to show you that seasons do change in life. And we know earth-wise seasons change. There's the four seasons. But every time a season changes, it's just a reminder that seasons do change spiritually and mentally and all kinds of other ways seasons change. To everything, there is a season and a purpose under heaven, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says. And so praise the Lord for that, the changing of seasons. We're going to go ahead and jump right in tonight to our prayer requests and updates. Tell you what, let's do it a little different tonight. We'll go ahead and start out there with you. If you have a prayer request or an update that you would like to make mention of, a praise report, in the back, Brother Don. Your grandson. Okay. Right. Let's remember this request tonight. Don and Yvonne's grandson, Stuart. Brother Jeff?
Yes, one of the guys I served with some Mary Birds, Paul's son, Gary, needs a kidney transplant. He only has one kidney left, and it's not working.
Okay. Yeah. Amen. All right. One of the people down at the Samaritan's Purse, Brother Jeff worked with recently, those in here in the back, a man named Paul, his son, and needs a kidney. Anybody else? Miss Marianne? Okay. Yeah. You say coming home next Wednesday? All right. Excellent. Let's remember Brother Eddie and then some friends. Miss Marianne should be here Sunday night from Florida. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? All right. Well, I'm just going to go through the list. Of course, we know that Ricky Harper's services were last Sunday. But let's continue to remember Miss Ruby Harper, the mother, and a heart condition she has. She's supposed to be. Miss Claudia told me, I'm not really sure if I understood the text correctly or not, but Supposed to be getting a new heart. That's a pretty big operation. And so let's remember Miss Ruby, of course, with the passing of her son, in our prayers, let's remember her. And James and Shirley Townsend, Chuck and Cece, their son, the accident he had. Can y'all hear me okay back there? Okay. And Johnny and Pat Eccles, it was good to see them this past Sunday. And they were here, so we praise the Lord for that. And Jim and Bonnie Carmichael, Mary Kelly, and our children's home, of course. Let's continue to remember them and their health and school and all of that. I believe they're going on fall break next week, I believe. Is that right, Miss Teresa? Okay. Fall break next week? Okay. All right. And Lily's school has fall break this week. And so different schools, different weeks. Is she? That's right. Okay. And for those that don't know, Miss Sherry works in the front office at CCH. And so let's remember her and her mother as well. All right, let's remember Trail Norton, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, and Randy and his treatments, and the Tidwells, Miss Linda and her fibrosis, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, David and Glenda Henderson. They're doing a little bit better, Brother David said just earlier. Harold Dolph, Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Donna Carla Rich, Claudia Darby, and Miss Claudia specifically asked for prayer for tonight. Not feeling well at all. Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, of course, all of our shut-ins, which includes the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, Ken Bryant, and more. Randy and Diane Ely, Gerald and Francis Carroll, and just all the others that have, like Brother Don mentioned a moment ago, battling COVID and just different situations that are going on in their lives. Let's just remember all of them. And if we miss someone, the Lord knows about it. And so let's just remember all these prayer requests tonight. Anybody else before we pray? All right. Let's have a time of prayer together like we do each and every Wednesday night. Again, you can stay seated or meet us in the altar, however you want to do it. And then Brother Jeff's going to come around and he has a song for us. And he's going to play on his auto harp. Is that right? Auto harp. All right. Congregational song. And we're still waiting for that song you're going to write, Brother Jeff. But we got us a series we're going to kick off tonight. And so we're excited about that. So all that would and are able, we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Jeff, and the Lord is Lily of the Valley. And valleys, being a child of God, are not so bad. I do not know how those that do not know Him make it going through their valley experiences. But we, the children of God, we have the Lord with us, and He has a way of making things beautiful in the valley. And so what a blessing. Thank you, Brother Jeff, again. It's just good to have some music on Wednesday nights, isn't it? And so we are inching our way along. We're like the caterpillar. He is inching his way along. As long as we're moving forward, then we're doing good. And so we appreciate that again, Brother Jeff. And so maybe we'll have one here at the end. We'll see how things go. Tonight, if you would, open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And I want to read one verse, and that is verse number 15. I've had something on my heart for some time now, and I've been wanting to get into a series, and it's just a matter of what series and what service. We have three services to choose from, and Lord willing, I may be starting a series on Sunday night covering something else, and so it's keeping them all separated for each service is the challenge. But 1 Peter chapter number 3, let's bow for prayer, and then we're going to read verse number 15. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You, we praise You for who You are. And Lord, for what You do. Tonight, Lord, we adore You, Lord, for being a God of mercy, for being a God of love, a God of justice, a God of grace, and a God of comfort. We adore You. And Lord, we also thank You. We praise You. We do pray that You'd be with us for the next few moments as we attempt to start a series. And Lord, may You be honored and glorified, and may we be educated. And Lord, may our flames be fanned, and may they burn a little harder in our hearts for lost people. We love You and we thank You tonight and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 15. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Tonight I want to call your attention really to one word out of this passage, and it's the word answer. He says, "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." That word answer in the original, in the Greek, it means apologen. It almost sounds like apologize, but it's apologen. And the word apologen in our language, or the word apologen, literally means a defense. It means a defense of one's beliefs. Now, the word tonight, apologetics, is the actual term that's used in the study of soul winning. Apologetics. It's a defense for your beliefs. And tonight, I want to at least kick off a study about that, and that is defending your faith. Defending your faith. It is high time in the day and time in which we live to not only know what we believe, but why we believe what we believe. There are bukus upon bukus of false religions out there that have their own beliefs, And I'm telling you, they're dying for them. We have Islam, and who die for what they believe, thinking that they do a justice or a work for God. But tonight, in all reality, when we go into the community and we hit the streets and whatever we may be doing, we may encounter some of these people, and we will. But the question is, can we defend what we believe? If someone comes up to us or we engage in a conversation and they say, well, they don't believe in the virgin birth, or the virgin birth didn't really happen. Well, you and I could say, well, we believe in the virgin birth, but going a step beyond that, can you defend the virgin birth? Can you take that person to the scriptures that recounts that story? And you see, that's very, very important in the day and time in which we live. Ever since Bible days, we're all called to share our faith and to win souls, or to share the gospel, and hopefully some turn to the Lord. But we have to know how to share the gospel. And we got to know how to deal with these situations when we come in contact. And so tonight, I want to share some simple, practical things that we should remember and know about sharing our faith. Now, next week, or it may be the next week, but next week we'll just say, I actually want to start looking into some of the false religions that are out there. A couple weeks ago, we mentioned the Mormons in one of our messages, one of our lessons, and it seemed like some got excited to learn that so that we could know how to talk to them. And so we're going to look at the Mormons on one Wednesday. And then the next Wednesday, we'll look at the Jehovah Witnesses. And then we're going to look at Islam. And then we'll look at the Catholic Church. But also, we're going to look at the faith movement as well. The faith movement. You know, that movement that started way back when, where, you know, you call the number on the TV and you sow a seed of faith for like $1,000. And if you do that, God will answer your prayer. The faith movement. Or that faith movement that says, if you're broke, if you're poor, if you're sick in body, then you're out of the will of God. You know, that kind of thing. And it's a real thing. And I remember not long ago, actually, probably a few weeks ago, I'm trying to think, their last name, they were big in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. More or less, I believe, the 60s and 70s. The Bakers, what is it? The Bakers, Jim and Tammy. They did a special on them on 2020, and I was just blown away at how things were done and what they actually was sharing as far as trying to make it to be Bible. But we're going to look at some of these false religions and beliefs. So we need to know what they believe, and we need to know how to engage with them when sharing our faith. And so we're going to look at some of those starting next week, hopefully, or next week maybe an extension of this introduction. We'll see. But tonight, most of us, if not all, again, know what we believe, but we need to know why we believe what we believe. Again, we pretty much everyone in here, I'm sure, knows and believes in the virgin birth. But why do you believe in the virgin birth? And then we believe in the virtuous life of Christ, but why do you believe in it? There's the vicarious death of Christ. We know that. We believe that, his death on the cross. But why do we believe that? And then there's the visible return of Christ. We believe that, but why do we believe that? If we were to get in a conversation with someone and they said, no, they've been saying that for hundreds of years that Jesus will return. It's a myth. It's a fairy tale. Can you tonight take them in Scripture where the Bible mentions his return and all of those things? Can you take a person in Scripture tonight? Can I take a person in Scripture tonight that talks about his resurrection, his death, his life and his birth. And so that's the key, that's the goal tonight, is to be able to do that. And so this evening, again, there's so many different kinds of verses we could read, but we're just going to kind of make a skeleton if we can, and you can put the meat on the bones yourself throughout the week. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, this is going to be classroom style series. And what I mean by that is, one time we did a numbers study, and it was very classroom style. And you'll see what I'm saying when we get started. And so tonight, defending our faith. I want to talk to you, first of all, the need for defending our faith. The need. And just listen along. You can take down some notes if you like. But what's the need? Why do we really need to defend our faith? Well, again, the word apologetics means to defend, so I'll be using the word apologetics and defending the faith interchangeably. The need to defend our faith. Apologetics, or defending the faith, is needed because of the cultural war being fought among Americans over ideas, beliefs, and behaviors. Listen to this. There's a great moral struggle for the soul of America. I believe we all could say amen to that. That there's a great big moral struggle over the soul of America. Satan is working overtime to destroy America by creating doubt in the minds of people concerning the great truths of the Bible, such as creation, the reliability of the Scriptures, the existence of God, the person and work of Jesus Christ, and all the rest of it. Satan is working overtime trying to create doubt in the minds of Americans and across the world. This can be witnessed in the decline of church attendance. We know that. Not only has this pandemic caused a big decline in church attendance, and I'm not saying that those who are watching on Facebook or they're just using that for an excuse because of the pandemic. I know that there are some who genuinely cannot get out. But I'm talking about morally and how the devil likes to create doubt in some of these truths of the Bible. And so it can be seen and witnessed in the decline of church attendance how that people are drifting from the faith and the devil is causing them to doubt. Loose living is on the rise and increase. The liberal social culture, depraved characteristics of people, a strong shift in left political views. How about that? There's been a lot of people who went from the right to the left, a big strong shift in political views. Bukus upon bukus of sexual perversion. And of course, we know that the devil uses mainly, in a big way, the internet for that, and television, entertainment. And so these things will and can be the fall of America. Turn, if you would, for a moment to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs 14. Listen to this verse here in verse number 34. Again, these things, all of these things will be and can be the fall of America if America does not bow a knee and get right with the Lord. Proverbs 14 in verse 34 says this, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so he's saying here that righteousness will uplift, righteousness will exalt, but sin is a reproach to any people. And America falls right into that line, that sin has a way of bringing reproach and disgrace upon itself and the person who is involved in that sin. And so tonight, America can be seen in that America is a sinful nation drifting far and far away from the Lord. Again, lots and lots of people have drifted from the right to the left. Liberalism is on the increase. Depraved character is on the increase. And all of these other things, loose living, a decline in church attendance. But we're told in Scripture that before the Lord returns, there will be a falling away. And so we know that. We're not caught blindsided about that. And again, just to keep our minds refreshed, we're talking about the need to defend our faith or the need for apologetics. Now, no nation can survive that denies God, His Son, and His Word. I believe the Lord has let us know that. I know God has used... now, when I say this, I'm not saying necessarily He's the author. In some cases He is, but I am saying He allows it. God has used storms. Now, Job talks about He has the storm in His hand, or at least the wind in His hand, the whirlwind is in His hand. And we know that there are many, many. I know Brother Jeff just got back from Louisiana, and so we're definitely not saying that God created something and then to cause a lot of people poverty. But God does allow hurricanes, and God does allow viruses, and God does allow natural catastrophes and all of those things in places that are living in sin. And He does that so that they will come to Him in salvation. He does that or allows that to happen so that people would come back to God. Because no nation, no state, no government, no person can survive without the Lord, His Son, God, His Son, or His Word. We know tonight that historically, it's a historical fact that America was founded upon the principles of the Word of God, with the laws that are based upon the Ten Commandments. We know that. Historical fact. That America was founded upon the principles of the Word of God with our laws based upon the Ten Commandments. They've tried to take the Ten Commandments down, the statues of the Ten Commandments. And of course, they've always tried to call us bigots and racist because of God's Ten Commandments. But our nation has been founded upon godly principles. Can it still be said that America is a God-fearing Christian nation? Can that be said? I don't think so. I don't think so. When at one time you'll turn the television on and there'll be no bad language at all. I can remember a time when there was no bad language at all on television. Not only is it bad language on television, but the things they put on there, sexual perversion. And what they do is they'll end a show with a couple of people walking into a room, and then the door closes, and then the show goes off. And so what the devil is trying to do is he's trying to get into our minds, well, wonder what's happening behind that door. You know, there was a time in this world when none of that was happening on TV or socially. But now, the world is crumbling. America is crumbling because of sin. Again, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So America is falling away from her humble beginning. Even many so-called churches have strayed away from the Word of God, soul winning, and godly living, and have become apathetic, indifferent, worldly, and nothing more than a social club. We're seeing that. As an inch tall that I am, we are seeing that. Many, many churches are social clubs. Many religious colleges, their professors, and many ministers now question whether the Bible is true. And they question the miracles in the Bible. Why is that? Why is that? Many question whether the Bible is true, and they question the miracles. Many so-called churches and mainstream denominations are ordaining homosexuals as ministers and have rock concerts at their churches. What is it? What's taking place? The devil is creating doubt. And so many are choosing to entertain that doubt. And so there's been a landslide of sin in our land through the years, and now it's just out of control. I mean, the rainbow sign, let me say this tonight. The rainbow sign is a token of God not going to flood the earth again. It is not gay pride. We were in Target the other day, and we walked in, and some of the employees had on Target shirts with the rainbow on it. And I know they're not trying to quote Genesis. And so what are they trying to do? They are trying to showboat what they believe, and they're trying to be free in it. And the problem is our land is accepting that. America, more now than ever, is accepting all of that. And we're not just being hard on homosexuals. We're being hard on sin in general. The Bible says if you have broken one sin, if you have stumbled at one, you're guilty of them all. And so all need the Lord tonight. But it's just so open, and it's so proud and so boisterous people are with their sin in our day. America is heading into a bad place. And so that's the need for defending the faith, sharing what we believe. When people ask us, why do you believe what you believe? And we should be able to tell them why. We believe in the virgin birth of Christ, that he came through a virgin womb. Why is that important? Well, if you go back and you look and you study, even in some secular books about the human anatomy and the blood and the makeup and all of that, you'll find out that, at least what I read, that not one drop of blood comes from the mother. It all comes from the father. When it comes to the makeup of the blood, now, I believe the book is called The Chemistry of the Blood. It's been a long time since I read it. But what would that mean? What would that mean if one drop of blood was contributed from Mary to Jesus? That means he would have corruptible blood. And we know that, and we have the whole story of Mary and Joseph. Well, and we know that situation. Mary and Joseph didn't know each other in that regard. And so all of his blood came from the Heavenly Father, the Holy Ghost. And so whenever we're combating this in a conversation with people, we can actually tell them why we believe what we believe. Not only that, it was prophesied for hundreds of years. You take them through the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the prophecy within itself is overwhelming. And so tonight, there is the need. There's the need when we see sin and people ask us what we believe, we have to know why we believe what we believe. And the overall reason is so that they may be saved. Now, there's the need for defending the faith. But then the task and mission of the church. We read this verse on Sunday night, but turn, if you would, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28 for just a moment. Verse number 19 and verse number 20. The mission of the church is still the Great Commission. He tells us in verse number 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And so the mission of the church is still the Great Commission. In verse number 19, he tells us to evangelize, to preach the gospel. Then he tells us to baptize. That's what we did Sunday night. And then in verse number 20, he tells us to discipleize. That word I used. So a person they accept Jesus. We baptize them to publicly declare what has happened on the inside, and then we disciple them. We disciple them. And that is the Great Commission of the church. So tonight, this can only be done, of course, through the preaching of the cross. And the whole idea, again, is to get sinners saved and then to baptize and then disciple them. And so that they may learn not only what they believe, but why they believe what they believe. And then, if it happens like it's supposed to, we'll be going forth out of the church, sharing the gospel. Someone comes along from a false religion, we're able to refute what they say and believe by the truths of God's word that we've learned. In the book of Jude, in verse number 3, I'll just give it to you. Jude, verse number 3, there's only one chapter. He tells us to earnestly contend for the faith. And the word contend means struggle. And it suggests a fighting for the faith. And so the word faith, earnestly contending for the faith, earnestly struggling, fighting for the faith, the word faith means itself. It means the whole makeup of truth, all the truth as revealed in God's word about God and about the things of God within itself. Earnestly contend for the faith, the truth of God's word. Therefore, it is the job of Christians to defend the truths of all of God's word. So we see tonight the need to defend the faith, the task and mission of the church. But then I want to look a little deeper in that word answer back in 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. And I want to look at that word answer a little deeper, that word apologetics. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer, a defense to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So again, that word in the Greek, answer, means apologize. And the closest English equivalent is the word defense. And so we have Christian apologetics. It is simply a study in the defense of the Christian faith. That's what it is. Another good definition of apologetics is the branch of theology that deals with the defense of a religious faith on the basis of reason through the Holy Scriptures. I know that was a mouthful. Again, another definition for apologetics, or another definition for defending our faith, is this: the branch of theology that deals with the defense of a religious faith on the basis of reason through the Holy Scriptures. Now, turn to Isaiah chapter 1 for a moment. I want to tie a couple things together if I can. Isaiah 1. Y'all just overlook some of the wording, the wordiness from my study here. In Isaiah 1, in verse number 18, the scriptures talk about reason. He says in verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And so what happens is when we defend the faith, the Holy Spirit works on the other person through reasoning. Through reasoning. We share the scriptures with someone who's caught up in a false religion, or someone who's confused about creation and all of that. You begin to share the scriptures with them, and the Holy Spirit works on their reasoning. They start asking themselves questions when we lay out the Bible to them. And so we see in this verse that the Lord wants to reason with people. all of those who are lost and undone, who have false beliefs that's not founded on the Bible, the Lord wants to reason with them, and He uses apologetics to do so. All right. The believer is commanded to be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within him. That's our text verse, 1 Peter 3:15. And again, back here in Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse 18, we find that God desires to reason with man. God, listen to this, God wants man to see the light and be willing to reason with himself so that he may turn to know the truth and be saved. See, God wants everyone to see the light. But in order for someone to turn to the light, reasoning is involved. And we're about to get into some of the different kinds of people that we'll face when we're witnessing. All right, the believer is commanded again to be ready to give an answer of the hope that's within him. This, of course, must be a sound, intelligent answer. Nothing off the cuff, but yet studied and well-rehearsed and ready to give an answer. It must be a sound, intelligent answer. Defending the faith or apologetics is a sound public defense of the gospel. And so when we do this, it must be a sound answer, an intelligent answer. All right, that is apologetics. That's the deeper look. But then let's look at types of people that we'll face in witnessing, or types of people in the world when it comes to what they think about the Bible. Number one, there are those who will gladly receive the message. Remember the story of the four grounds, the four souls? And there was that one out of four fell on good ground. And that's about what it is. This is just the truth, but there are more that will say no than yes. But there will be some who say yes. And that parable backs that up. And so some feel on the good ground. So there are those who gladly receive the gospel message, but then there are others who identify themselves with a form of religion. You might bump into someone and strike up a conversation, and you might start it out by saying, so where do you go to church? Or do you go to church? And they may say, yeah, we meet every Saturday. I'm a Jehovah Witness. Or I'm a Mormon. I've seen many, many Mormons going through Walmart with their name tags, and they all have white shirts and ties. The guys do. And I've seen many, many Jehovah Witnesses backing in at the Quick Trip. a lot of days. I can spot them a mile away, and I call them JWs. But these are, there's some who will identify. They'll say, well, I belong to this group, or I belong to that group. Even in churches, you'll bump into different denominations. Well, I go to the Church of God, and I go to the Church of Christ, or I'm Baptist. And so when you're going to talk to people and witness, you'll run into those who identify themselves with some other religion and denomination. Then there are those who are apathetic and are content with their own beliefs. They're like, that's okay. I know what I believe, and this is how I feel about it. You know, life is all about getting and getting and getting and enjoying yourself, and then when you die, that's it. It's just annihilation of soul. It's all over. I've heard them say that before. And so you'll have those who are content with their own beliefs. But then there's the skeptics who raise those intellectual questions and reasons as to why they doubt Christianity. Have you ever ran into someone like that? I mean, you start to talk to them about the Lord, and I mean, they're like, yeah, but what about this? I'll get saved if you show me in the Bible where there were dinosaurs. I had one man tell me that before. He said, look, I'll get saved. I'll listen to what you have to say. But you got to prove to me that there were dinosaurs on this earth. I got to thinking, man, what's your obsession with dinosaurs? And so, you know, they have all kinds of questions. And and all of these different things. So we have to be ready. But then there are the last people, and these are those who just utterly reject the gospel and not discuss the matter under any terms. And I've talked to those before. I have friends I used to hang out with back before I got saved, and they won't listen to it. They will change the conversation in a heartbeat. They have nothing to say. I mean, they witnessed God change my life. My grandpa witnessed God change my life. And, you know, I go to talk to him about the Lord. At least it's been a while, but conversation just gets nowhere. And so there are those who do that. Just, you get nowhere with them. And so we're beginning to see tonight that there's a great need of evangelism. There is a great need tonight of not only stating what we believe, but why we believe what we believe. And again, I'm just laying out the skeleton. And over these weeks, it'll be just a skeleton. And, you know, you go home and search the scriptures, look at the virgin birth and his virtuous life and all of that, and ask God to just embroider it in your mind and heart. And then when it comes time to share the gospel, you're there. Let me mention something else. Not only different people you'll have when you're witnessing, but when it comes to us as the people who are doing the gospel spreading, there's preparation involved. Preparation. In order for believers to defend the faith, we must be prepared to defend the faith. The believer must prepare his heart and mind that he can both spiritually and intellectually be ready to defend the Christian faith. And that's the long and short of it. We just got to be ready. That's what Peter said. Be ready always to give an answer. Always. Always be ready to defend. And I'll just be honest with you. Most times it happens to me when there's a conversation that came about in the community, I'm blindsided about it. Most of the time I'll bump into somebody. And I remember one time I was pumping gas at racetrack. Out of nowhere, somebody tapped me on my shoulder. I mean, the last time I looked, wasn't nobody there. And it was a Jehovah Witness giving me a watchtower track. I was completely off guard. And so we got to be prepared the best we can so that when those times do come, it is so in us and our minds and hearts that we're just ready to give it out. Right preparation, mind and heart, spiritually, intellectually, be ready to defend the faith. And so in order to do this, to be ready, we must not only know the Bible, some extent of the Bible, and be grounded in truth, but we also must have some kind of knowledge of non-Christian religions. And so that's a whole other thing. And I knew when I started this study tonight, earlier today, when I was praying about it and all, this thing could go on for months, literal months. And that's okay if it does. But we got to have some kind of knowledge, not only of what we believe, but what they believe. How else are we going to know how to challenge them or when they challenge us? So we got to be prepared of non-Christian views, evolution, the world, American history, archaeology, even all this kind of stuff. Got to have some kind of knowledge of that if we can. The purpose of Christian apologetics is to challenge the basic beliefs of false religions and secular philosophies and prove they are in error, because they don't think they're in error tonight. They don't think that. And so when we defend the faith, when we share our faith, these basic beliefs, it has a way of filtering what they believe, and they see, prayerfully, they see their error, and they turn to the truth. Let me mention a couple more things tonight. I told you it's classroom style. The right preparation, but then what's the goal? The goal in defending the faith. We know that, win souls. But the teaching of apologetics or defending the faith needed so Christians can be equipped to defend the gospel and win souls to Jesus. Apologetics is not arguing about religion, but it is defending the truth with the purpose of evangelizing sinners. The Christian must be able to, again, intelligently disagree and provide sound support historically and biblically for their disagreement. You know, the Lord really had to work on me with this, with engaging in conversations with people, because I get so mad. I did. I just get so mad when they say they don't believe in Jesus, they don't believe in the Holy Ghost. They believe that Mormonism is the way. They believe that Jehovah's Witness. I just get mad. And I mean, I'm telling you, I just didn't know what to say. I knew what I believed, didn't know why I believed. But even to this day, beginning to know more of why I believe what I believe, there's just something in me that just, I don't know. You know, there's these political debates, and they go at one another. I remember Trump and Joe. Man, that was crazy. I got to thinking, how do these people debate without getting in a fight? You know, there's just something that burns in me, but yet I need to be the kind of representative that honors God well. We all need to be that kind of representative that honors God well and give soundly and intelligently and calmly give the gospel. Because that's what he says back in 1 Peter 3, isn't it? Verse 15. Listen to this again. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness, gentleness. Don't bash them in the nose and say, in the name of Jesus, believe. But with meekness and fear. Now, at the top, what does he mean? But sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Can we make God any more holier? No. But we can understand his holiness. And we can understand that he is separate from anything that's earthly of this world system. He is holy. He is able. He is mighty to save. And so we're to sanctify. We're to realize that when we share the gospel, we are sharing a very powerful element. We're sharing a very powerful entity. We are sharing a gospel that brings dead men back to life. And so we sanctify. We understand. We get calm. We allow God's calm to come over us in order to be that witness with meekness and fear. That's a hard thing to do. It is for me. It is for me. But God's still working on me, and I'm getting there, I think, little by little. And that's the goal, is to evangelize, to baptize and disciplize, and to do it intelligently and to do it biblically. The other goal of apologetics, or defending the faith, is to identify and remove intellectual obstacles that prevent people from seriously considering the gospel. It's all about disproving. Not long ago on a Sunday night, I preached on the lies of the devil. And this is it in a nutshell. The devil likes to tell people, anybody, saved or lost, that God doesn't love you. And what happens when a person doesn't feel loved? They just kind of give up, don't they? Well, what's the use? I'm not loved. I just do whatever I want to do, find my own little niche in life, and, you know, create my own thing. And so that's what they do. But really, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So what did we just do there? We refuted, we demolished a lie. And so the devil is telling us God don't love us, and we know he does. And so we demolish that lie. And so when we're engaging in conversation with people, that's the goal, is whatever they say to us, we filter it through God's word, and we combat what they say with the truth from God's word. And that should remove all obstacles that's in their way, in their mind, what they've learned about whatever false religion or belief system they have. so that they can clearly see the light and hopefully get saved. That's the goal. One last thing tonight that I want to mention, and we could spend 3 weeks on this last thing. Back in Bible college, I was supposed to go over this course, and I did. And it's just a joy to be able to teach of it. The need for the power of the Holy Spirit. The need for the power. Sinners cannot be saved apart from the convicting, drawing power of the Holy Ghost. That is what's needed in our churches today. That's why there are so many churches of the living dead. It's because that pulpit is cold and silent. Preachers have lost their backbones. Preachers have, they've grown accustomed to not wanting to offend anybody so they can draw larger crowds. But the truth of the matter is, if you preach the Bible to men as they are, it may thin out the crowd. But there's always a small remnant who love to hear that kind of preaching because it's Bible preaching. So there needs to be conviction. There needs to be conviction from the pulpit to the pews and in the world whenever we witness one-on-one. It's not us that convict people, but it's God's Word that convicts people. And that's the awesome thing, is that every time, and this is what makes me so excited about Sundays, is when Friday and Saturday roll around, I get so excited because I know that Sunday's coming. And I know that God has opened a door for me to stand behind that pulpit. And I know there's people here that are hurting and people need direction. And there may even be lost people here or people that's away from God. Wow, what an opportunity. Such an opportunity. And it is so exciting. And so I get in God's Word and I pray, Lord, direct me to the right sermons, the right series. But there's never a time that I do not pray, Holy Spirit, anoint me afresh and anew. Lord, let your word be power. Let it be power. And I'm not saying that I achieved any of this, but that's my heart. I'm trying to move in that direction where there's never a sermon that I preach or never a lesson that I teach without the direction of the Holy Spirit and His power, because it takes His power to convict and draw those to the Savior's side. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, and it pierces deep into the heart and brings conviction. Acts 2:37, Ephesians 6:17, and some other verses. There's been times where I would preach something and someone would say, well, I can't believe you preached on that. One occasion back at our last church, well, you're just using pulpit advantage. You know what's going on in my life, and you're rattling my life from the pulpit. I said, I don't know what's going on in your life. I said, I'm just preaching God's Word. And you see, when we're sensitive to God and His Word, and when we speak God's Word, it pierces deep into the heart and brain's conviction. It's the truth of God's Word that sets men free. So it's conviction, and then it's freedom. Therefore, it is important that false beliefs be identified and removed so the mind can see the truth. And I want to say tonight, that's what's hindering a lot of different people from coming to the Lord. There's so much in the way of real truth. Those Jehovah Witnesses have been indoctrinated, some of them, for their whole life. Mormons and Muslims indoctrinated their whole life. I'm not saying that can't be removed so they can see the truth. God is able, but sometimes it takes some work. Many are completely ignorant to Christian beliefs and need sound intellectual truth to show them the way to Christ. We can reach sinners through apologetics, defending the faith that is combined with love and a true burden for souls. It's important that Christians realize they need the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit when witnessing and defending the Christian faith. Listen to these verses. I'm just going to give them to you. Always remember this when you get in a conversation or you know one's coming about the Lord. John 14, verses 16 and 17, here's the gist of it. Jesus promised to give the Holy Spirit to all believers. He is called the Spirit of Truth and will be with us always. The Spirit of Truth is in us. John 16, 13 through 15, we find the Holy Ghost will teach and guide us. He will bring, I love this, to our remembrance the truth of God's Word. That's why it's so important to memorize. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but that's why it's so important to memorize Scripture. So when you get in those situations, then the Holy Spirit just brings it to your mind. 1 John 2:20, the Christian has unction. What's unction? Special endowment. Holy Ghost anointing. We have been smeared with God's finger. God has anointed us. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. The Bible tells us to stand strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. The armor of God is of great importance when defending the Christian faith. And so, briefly, I'm just going to give you each piece and we're done. Ephesians 6, 14, there's the girdle of truth. We must be rooted and grounded in truth. Number 14 again, there's the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate in soldiers, it covers, the Roman soldiers, it covers and protects the heart and the vital organs of the person. And so the heart of the Christian must be right and pure and clean. This would be the breastplate of righteousness. And so a Christian cannot defend the things of God if we are not living a godly life. Verse 15, there's the shoes of the gospel. To have our feet shod means to be covered with shoes. A Christian apologist must daily walk in the light of God's word and be willing to stand up for the truth wherever and whenever. To have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace means that we're always ready, we're prepared to share God's truth, God's word. Verse number 16, there's the shield of faith. The word faith here means to believe in, to trust in, to rely upon. It means that we totally rely upon God and believe all that He says in His word. We stand up for Christ, believing in His word and His ability. We have the shield of faith on. Verse 17, there's the helmet of salvation. The helmet is designed to cover, of course, the head, the brain. And so this has a lot to do with the intellect and knowledge of God's Word. And of course, there's the sword of the Spirit, and then it talks, which is the Word of God. And then it gets to talking about praying with all prayer and supplication. And so tonight, as we make our stand, as we go into the community and we have contact with a lost and dying world, it is imperative that we rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit and that we ask Him to protect us. We take upon us the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand. I know tonight that was a whole lot. Again, next Wednesday night we may... I wanted to go ahead and get into the different false religions. We may just have an extension of this before we get into that, but we'll be prayerful about that. And we hope the lesson was a blessing to you tonight. Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord. We praise You for all things. God, help us tonight to be defenders of the faith. Lord, to stand and to stand in Your power, Lord, help us take in Your word so that we'll have something to pull from when these times come for us to engage in telling someone about Jesus. Let our mission always be the Great Commission. And Lord, just help our light shine. Let our light shine with our lives and our lips, or let our light shine with our lives, but Lord, use our lips to tell them about the light. We love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you. Keep us safe. Be with all the prayer requests. Bring us back safely on Sunday, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, any questions or comments before class is dismissed? All right. Is this study sound interesting enough to you guys? Okay. I just wanted to go in, and we just need some direction to go in. So thank you, everyone. Be safe, and we love you all. Let me cut that off. Well, we'll get another song in next week, brother. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You doing all right, Miss Sharon? I'm going to turn this down. Thank you.